Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And I will say that today is definitely no different. We want to empower those emerging generations because, especially because we're actually in the middle of a transition point. We've been talking about millennials entering the workforce, but now there's a whole new generation that's about to enter the workforce. So we're going to talk about that today. How do we prepare them? What lessons would you give them? What advice would you give them as they enter the workforce?
Yeah, I would say the thing I've watched in the 40 years that I have been in my career, it's scary to say that, but I started teaching in 1979, it's now 2019, is the career readiness of a student. Mm-hmm. I think my generation made some big mistakes, just like any generation, but we were more ready because we had been working.
Yeah.
I worked two or three jobs during high school because I had to. If I couldn't have any spending money, I had to work a job.
Yeah.
The average teenager doesn't work a job, so we've said before 22 is the new 16. You want to explain what that
means?
When
it comes to career readiness, right?
Yeah.
Their first job is not happening at 16. It's happening at 22.
Yeah, for many.
For many of them. Not all of them for sure. Yeah. But so what happens is you've got a young person who's entering into your professional working environment, and they've never even flipped a burger, right?
Right.
They've never even had to work on a team, and so they may not have even earned a paycheck before.
Yeah.
There's lots of things that are brand new to them that really weren't brand new years and years ago.
Yeah, I talked to a Division I NCAA coach recently who said, I just got a call from one of our graduates, and he said, I've got my first paycheck. What do I do? He had never had an account, and it was sad. I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Yeah.
But this coach walked him through.
Yeah.
Here's what you do with it. But I'm thinking, Mom, Dad, what were you doing or what were you not doing? But also, kids, maybe we need to start the job before the stakes are that high.
Yeah.
And the paycheck's that high, and it's full time.
Yeah.
So what we're going to talk about today, as you well know, as you host this, Andrew, is what are some workplace rules that every person ought to know, particularly every young employee who starts their career?
And what we're finding is that we're having to explain some of the rules that maybe we felt like were innate before.
Lucy, you have some splaining to do. Do you remember Ricky Ricardo?
Yeah.
Okay. I just thought I'd throw
now,
that
Now, those
in.
Were reruns when I watched
them. Yes, that's right. Well, they were for me, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I grew up in the 60s, and that was probably, I don't know, 59. I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
But the reason I said that is because we have found, as you've worked with a number of HR managers and different people who hire young people, is that they're having to explain things they never thought they would have to explain.
Yeah.
And you told me a hilarious
story
about
that. Yeah, I did. So I talked to a human resource executive at Bank of America, and we just were having a wonderful, cordial conversation. And she was talking about how talented her new young team members were that she was onboarding right out of college into their career at Bank of America. But she said during the Q&A session, she said one of the young ladies raised her hand and said, when's spring break? Yeah. And she had to say, sweetheart, we work all year round here.
Yeah.
It's not like school.
You get a couple of holidays, but that's kind of it.
Yeah. So I just got back from Dallas, Texas. I was working with an organization, and we were talking about generational diversity. We all understand there's ethnic diversity in the workplace and gender diversity, but now we're seeing there were four generations working together, and it was a good piece of news here, but we laughed our way through the morning just at how different we were and how different perhaps the seasoned veteran is than that new employee who not only is younger, but it's just grown up in a wholly different world than the one that I grew up in. So it's quite important.
Well, you talk about different terms of engagement, and I think that's exactly what's happened is the world changed.
Yeah.
So these younger generations, myself included, started making different assumptions.
Yeah. That's
and
right.
Brought those into the workplace.
That's right. Like maybe wearing flip flops instead of a suit, you know, which happens all the time.
Yeah.
And even in our office, we've gone more casual. But
yeah. And even talking to a boss differently, right? I think because how we talk to a coach or a teacher or even a parent. We certainly respected their authority, but it was a much more familial, conversational kind of relationship rather than authoritarian, you know? So you walk in expecting to just shoot the breeze with your boss, and they're like, what are you talking about?
You know? So really our career, the conversation today is about the idea of a career path.
Mm.
I'm hearing this term more and more. We talk about it even here at Growing Leaders.
Yeah.
What's the career path? So I know I got a job. It's this position at this pay, and it's these parameters and this much authority. But is there a path to go further? And I think there needs to be a path. So while I think the organization and the employer owe it to the employees to say, here's some steps we're thinking, I want to talk today now about that young employee that perhaps could say, my part is this.
Yeah, I think that's great.
All right.
Some of this advice you're going to give today, in fact, I'll just speak from my own experience, has been very helpful for me to sort of not reset my expectations, mm-hmm. but realign them mm-hmm. and ask, where did that expectation come from? Where did that assumption come from? And what is actually true about how you add value in the workplace and sort of earn the right to be heard and earn the right to be promoted and all those kinds of things.
So Andrew, today, as we take just a few minutes and do this, I would like you to be the representative of the millennial generation. I'll be the representative of the baby boomer generation. But I'd love to get your take, because you just said something really candid. I didn't know I had some assumptions, but we all do.
Yeah.
And life is about managing expectations, so we bring expectations into the workplace. So let me share what I think is some rules that govern the workplace, and I'd love to get your pushback or feedback, okay?
Love it.
All right. So I'm going to give you four. Here's the first one. Autonomy increases with productivity.
Mm.
Autonomy increases with productivity. You would agree probably that we live in a day where in our careers, we expect more and more, can I work from home? More mm-hmm. and more, can I work from Starbucks? You and I will, from time to time, work at Starbucks and do some writing there or some thinking or some planning. And that's a very normal thing. But at Growing Leaders, I have found that when I have a team member that has shown great productivity, they have been so fruitful in what they've done in the office, makes me want to give them more autonomy to get it done wherever they are. I feel like I can trust you.
Yes.
It's a trust issue.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't trust your character as much as are your habits going to allow you to produce as much at Starbucks, where three friends may walk in and take up 45 minutes of your day talking about, you know, that crazy party you went to last Friday night, Andrew. Yeah. I was concerned about that.
Yeah, you always talk to me about that.
Yeah, that's
I don't know
right.
why.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of Holly, our COO, said very wisely, not everybody has the same ability to get work done in a Starbucks.
Yeah.
And by proving that you have the ability to focus and accomplish a task here in the office, it gives me the ability to say, if they can do it here, they can probably do it there.
Yeah, so we verbally and nonverbally try to communicate to team members, we love you. Thanks for being here. We need your gifts. As you become more productive, you will earn more autonomy.
Mm.
And I just think it's how life works. Actually, we don't even have to say it. That's how life works. I get more freedom when I'm really producing. I'm sure that the greatest athletes get a lot more freedom than some of the lesser great athletes because you're producing on the field or the court all the time. So we have allowed, I remember the very first employee we allowed to have lots of autonomy. It was a young lady named Chloe. I love Chloe. She's now a mom. She had twins and so forth. But she, asked one time and we said, absolutely, you can work from home. And it was because we had no doubt she would get just as much done there.
Yeah.
So enough said on that. But
it's really good.
I feel like that's important. Now, one last comment about productivity. Productivity means I'm doing well what I've been asked to do and perhaps over and above what I've been asked to do. I worked for 20 years for John Maxwell, and he had the same rule. He gave me lots of autonomy once I was producing, but he would do a little talk to us as staff members about the difference between producers and pretenders.
Mm.
Does that not sound Maxwellian
to
you?
Yes, it does. Alliteration
and all. That's right. Yeah, in three syllables. But the whole point was you're a producer if you're getting the job done. Don't just look active. Don't just look busy.
Yeah.
Don't pretend.
Yeah.
And sometimes as we as team members don't realize, I'm just pretending right now. I need to really get the job done. Doesn't matter how long it takes me. If I get the job done, my employer's going to be happy about that, I would think.
Yep.
So
totally
good.
Agree.
All right. So that's number one. All right. Here's number two. Promotions always follow testing.
Mm.
I have come to believe that just as products that we purchase are never used until they're tested, they're never sold until they're tested, so it is with great team members and really great leaders. Leaders always realize that promotion always follows testing. So I have to be tested. There may be a grind of having to prove myself doing a job that's not very glitzy, but I do it anyway. I might be tested with a very small task to see if I'll do it. We have talked before about Carrie, my friend, who's now an instructor at Kansas State University. But one of her first full-time jobs, maybe her first full-time job, was working I was on the same team, and I oversaw some of the tasks. And Carrie talked to me after she had gone on staff at Kansas State. She said, I'll never forget learning this little principle of do the small thing, and it will get you into the room to do the bigger thing.
Mm.
And we now made a habit to die in honor of Carrie Priest. But we call it coffee step.
Yes.
Here's what it is. If you're an intern or you're a young employee and you've been asked to get the coffee for the executives or whatever, getting the coffee seems like, what do you ask me to do that for? I got a college degree. Do you not know that? Or do you not realize how smart I am? Or do you not realize the talent I've got? Yes, 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 yes. All that's true. But early jobs are not so much about talent, but about trust.
Mm.
Will you show me I can trust you? And so Carrie, bitter lip, wondering if we just ask her to do that because she was a girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And she did it anyway. And she said, Tim, it's the smartest decision I made that first year on my job. She said, I got the coffee for all the execs. And she said, I noticed when I was taking it to them, it got me in the room.
Yeah.
Suddenly I'm meeting the president, the vice president, the manager.
Hey, we got a question for
you. That's right.
Come here.
That's right. And they start interacting. Next thing she knows, she's being asked questions about her viewpoint as a 20-something. Next thing she knows, she's being asked to sit down and chat. And she moved forward because she passed the test.
Mm.
So I just believe that promotion, you move forward if you're willing to go through the test. Tests are allies, not adversaries.
Yeah.
And just promotion follows performance at a higher level.
I think that's so good. That was a really important lesson for me, especially early, because as you're coming out of basically your career has been school, right?
Yeah.
Every test that you've had up to that point has not been a positive thing. It's something somebody told me I have to do.
Yeah.
So you sort of have to reset your mind to see that test, not as a negative thing, but as a necessary step in me getting towards the goals that I have set for myself.
Yeah.
So that somebody, you know, showing up, we call them pop quizzes, right?
Yeah.
Somebody showing up and saying, hey, here's a challenge you didn't know you were going to face, but I'm giving it to you. If you're ready to accomplish that challenge, then the next time somebody is thinking about who deserves that promotion, who deserves that raise, they're going to think about the person who achieved
that thing. Absolutely. No doubt about it. And you don't have to teach that. We just naturally do that.
Yeah.
So there's two habitudes that really illustrate this. You just mentioned pop quiz. By the way, listeners, if you're not sure what a habitude is, it's not just a funny word. Habitudes are images that form leadership habits and attitudes. So pop quizzes are what we expect in school, even though we don't know when they're coming. Pop quizzes happen in life and in work, even though we don't know they're coming.
Yes.
Our job is to pass the test. The other one I love, Andrew, is toll booths or roadblocks.
Yes.
You know, everybody in their career is going to get stuck at some point. You're going to get asked to do something you don't know what to do, and you get stopped. We get to decide whether it's a roadblock and I never go forward again, I just got stuck there, or if it becomes a toll booth, I pay a price and I keep moving forward.
Do the work and keep going.
That's right. So we need to make sure they're toll booths, not roadblocks.
Yes.
Good. So all right. Rule number three. The third kind of term of engagement for the workplace is rules decrease as results increase.
Mm.
So, parents understand this. When your kids are younger, they need a lot of rules because they don't think for themselves. And when they think concretely, not abstractly. But you need a lot of rules for a 5-year-old.
Yes.
You hopefully need fewer rules for a 17-year-old. If you need just as many for a 17-year-old, you have not parented very well. Something's gone awry.
So true.
Okay. So I believe that's true at work. Rules should be less necessary when you've got trustworthy team members that have gotten results, and I know what needs to be done to get this result.
Yes.
Andrew, you're one of those person. Gabby's in the room. I think she's one of the, JT's one of the, I don't have to question, JT knows what to do to get on the phone and get that transaction made, you know, that sort of thing. So I just think we need to realize it isn't just about activity. It's about accomplishment. It's not just about keeping the rules. It's about getting the results.
It's really the transformation from you walking in your supervisor's office and they say, here's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
And you earn the right to walk in and they say, what have you been working on?
Yeah, right? That's right.
That's really the difference that I have experienced in the last 10 years in my career is I have to, I do a lot less of being told what to do and a lot more of explaining why I think this is the right decision.
Yeah.
And that's just a sign of being trusted because I've earned that right.
Yeah, you know? No doubt. I will never forget, this was years ago, but we had a batch of interns coming in to Growing Leaders, and within a week to 2 weeks, it was less than 2 weeks, this one young man who was probably, well, he was college age, he came to me and said, Dr. Elmore, could I get a key to the office? And my first reaction was, that's kind of presumptuous. You're an intern, for Pete's sake. You're not a full-time team, you know, team member, vice president, whatever. But he explained very humbly. He said, the reason I'm asking, I know that's asking a lot, but he said, the reason I'm asking is I love what I'm getting to do here, and I may come in early and I may even stay late. And that means I need to ask someone else to come in early or someone else to stay late. If you give me a key, I'll be able to work early and work late. And I didn't let him finish his sentence. I said, you got a key.
Yeah.
I'll have it for you
Take
tomorrow.
Take mine. I'll get
That's
another
right.
one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right. But see, once again, it's someone that understood results and understood productivity and what needs to happen to make this thing work.
I bet that person earned some trust.
Yes. Yeah. He's the kind of guy I say, I'm going to be working for you one day.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right.
All right. So we've been through three. Give us the fourth one.
The last one I want to share today is influence rises through providing the scarcest resource. Mm. Now, I want to say that again. Influence rises or increases when you provide the scarcest resource. Mm. So just a simple, simple example. Let's say you're with a bunch of friends on a road trip, and for some strange reason, you're the only one that didn't put their smartphone in the trunk. You've got your smartphone, and you got a GPS app. You're driving in a foreign city. You're the only one with a GPS. Guess who's got all the influence in the car? You are.
Yeah.
You're the one with, you know. Why? You've got the scarcest resource. So in essence, this just is understanding that leadership isn't just a badge or a position or a title. It's about you providing something that's much needed.
Yes.
And the scarcer the resource, the more valuable you become.
Yeah.
And often it's reflected in remuneration. But I remember my dad talking to me about supply and demand.
Yeah.
You know, free enterprise is about supply. He didn't say it quite like that. Free enterprise. Free enterprise is about supply and demand.
Yeah.
And you know that's what it is. It's the greater the supply, the less it might cost because you got a whole bunch of it. The greater demand, the more you can charge for it because it's in demand. So that's how it is with human capital.
Yes.
So we provide something scarce and we become very, very valuable.
I found this is a lesson in initiation as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Or initiative, rather. Sorry, not initiation, initiative. Because a lot of times that need, the scarcest resource, may not even, people in the organization may not even realize it's a scarce resource.
Yeah.
So a lot of this is you recognizing a need, seeing something you want to step into and going, you know what, I'm going to step in and solve that problem that people don't even know they have yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you do that, they go, oh man, I'm so thankful you
it's
did
true.
That.
It's true. Can I give you an illustration
Please
of that?
Please do, yeah.
So you know, one of our beloved young team members is a young man named Shingy.
Yes.
Shingy's originally from Zimbabwe. He is a hard worker. I see it all the time because he's my travel buddy right now.
Yeah.
But Shingy's name means never give up, and he lives up to his name.
Yes, he does.
So we're on the road. He's problem solving all the time. But here's what I know is going to happen every trip. Before I step up on the platform and do my presentation, he'll walk up to me, and I know it's going to happen just in time. He'll hand me a bottle of water, because I'll need that when I'm speaking, my clicker to advance my slides, and a bag of peanut M&Ms, because I'm a diabetic, and I might go low in blood sugar while I'm out there. But there it is, like clockwork, and I go, you're a trustworthy man.
That moment, those are the scarcest
resources.
That's
right. It's true. I couldn't do it without a clicker, my M&Ms or my microphone or whatever.
That's so funny.
So, yeah. So, anyway, these are simple rules. I'll let you kind of do your feedback or pushback if you want. But and maybe it might be wise to just review these really rapidly. But, listeners, I want to say to you, these are rules that tend to govern the workplace, whether you know it or not.
Yes.
They tend to be rules that govern the workplace, and young team members may not know. They're not dumb. They just haven't gotten acquainted with this. Lack of experience does not equal ignorance. It just means I just haven't been here before. So we need to relay these great principles to the next generation as we go through our career.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah. So let me go back over those. Okay. Number one was autonomy increases with productivity.
Yep.
Number two was promotions always follow testing.
Yeah.
So once you get tested, you can be promoted if you pass the test. Number three is rules decrease as results increase.
Yeah. Yeah.
And number four was influence rises by providing the scarcest resource.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are timeless truths. These are things that are always going to be true. And that's what I try and remind adults and HR professionals, all these things. There are realities that we're teaching our kids today that are going to be true, even if they get a job in the year 2040.
Yeah, that's
right. These things are true of that too. So these timeless truths, you're probably thinking, how do I teach these to the next generation?
Yeah.
We created a resource around this. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Habitudes for New Professionals addresses all of these topics.
Yes, it does.
And more.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So Tim, a few years ago, created this resource we call Habitudes for New Professionals. It comes in both a book and also in an online course. And it is a great resource for interns, for apprentices, for brand new hires. It's that next generation young person who's trying to figure out what does it look like to be healthy in the workplace, right? Provide or to add value to the people around me and to basically earn the right to be heard.
That's right.
It's awesome. The coffee step that Tim mentioned is in there.
Yeah.
But that's a resource that lots of businesses around the country are utilizing to bring on new interns and new hires.
And we actually started using it with interns before it was ever a book or a video course. We said, boy, this is stuff you ought to know. And I feel like it's been helpful. We've had some great interns here.
Yeah.
So it just helps them think less like a student with a backpack and more like a worker with a briefcase.
Yeah.
So,
well said. Well, if you want to pick that up, go to growingleaders.com and click on Habitudes and you'll be able to see that resource. Or you can go right to the store and buy the book right from there. Thank you so much for listening. Couple of reminders, please engage with us on social media. We've been hearing from a lot of you about the podcast and that's been awesome. So connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you are. We want to connect with you there. We also want to invite you to rate the podcast. It really helps us if you will rate the podcast. It lets other people know about what we're doing here. And then lastly, as always, we love getting specific feedback from you. If you've got an idea for a topic or a person you want us to interview, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those emails from you, and we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for leading us, Tim, for helping us make wise choices and lead Gen Z in the workplace well. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.